God is working in you, believer. He's given you the will and the power to do. The will and the power to do. The desires, the wants, the wishes in your life come from the Spirit. The power to follow through comes from the Spirit. And then when you and I do follow through, you know who gets all the credit? God. And then we look back and we just trip out on all that God's done. We're just like, wow, where did this come from? The Lord.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Abounding Grace. Today we continue our lesson from chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and the title of our message is Power of the Holy Spirit in the Believer. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verse 17 it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." The love of Jesus gives his disciples power over their enemies, but there is a warning that comes with that power. We aren't to become smitten with the satisfaction of what He has allowed us to do in His name. God will never work in us or through us until we recognize our human limitations. We can celebrate that we have received God's power not because of our own efforts, but because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Grab your Bibles and let's join Ed Taylor for the conclusion of our message, Power of the Holy Spirit in the Believer, as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
Walk in the Spirit. God will do wonders in your life. Surrender. You got to wave the white flag on that one. And surrender. Let go. Walk in the Spirit. Looking at the power and the presence of Jesus through His Spirit in Peter is inspiring. He heard the right thing. He said the right thing. He obeyed. Thousands respond to the gospel. Thousands. Thousands of people respond. We often remember Peter for his faults and failures. I want to add to you, don't remember just his faults and failures. Remember God's faithfulness through his life. That God turned a guy around like this. He can turn you and me around. This was the pattern of his life. He had his episodes. Struggled like a normal human. But the manner of his life completely changed. He's the guy in Acts chapter 4 that ended up saying, you know what, there's no other name under heaven by which anyone can be saved. He's the one that stands before the religious rulers and says, you know what, I get what you're saying. I know you don't want me to talk about Jesus, but I'm going to obey God rather than you. Do whatever you want with me. You can't really hurt a dead man, can you? I'm already died to Jesus. I'm alive in Him. You can't do anything to me. I'm going to preach the gospel. Do whatever you want to do. He gets thrown in prison. God breaks him out. Twice. Faithful. Wonderful. Releasing him all over the place. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to change us from within rather than trying to change ourselves on the outside. It's a mistake that's made all the time. If I just stop this, then I can stop that. And I can get victory over that. If I can just stop this. If you could just stop relying on your flesh, you can stop it all. Can't you see the pattern by now? You try to stop, you fail, you beat yourself up. It takes you forever to get enough courage to try to stop again. You try to stop again, you fail, you beat yourself up. It takes you forever and ever to try to work it up again, and I'll try again. And you're on that cycle. I try, I fail, I try, I fail, I feel horrible. And all the while, you can almost hear heaven saying, the Spirit is there to help you. Yield to Him. Yield to the Spirit of God. Jesus, when He's teaching His disciples on what the kingdom looks like, He tells them that you must be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Huh. Can you imagine? If you were sitting there, what would your response be? That's impossible. Exactly. That's exactly the life of kingdom living that Jesus was aiming for. Yeah, it's impossible. Now what are you going to do? Jesus just told you to do something impossible. I'll tell you what you need to do. What I need to do is run to the one that told me to do something impossible, because it's obviously not impossible for him. He's the one teaching me. I'm going to run to my teacher. And I've seen it all. I've seen people, I've seen ministries, I've even seen churches take this one verse and make it the goal for their entire lives. Okay, church, we are going to be the perfect people. And you know what that creates, right? Some of you have come from an environment like that. It creates a very harsh, legalistic church where nobody can do anything right, because perfection is so far. And they'll define what perfection is. This is how you dress when you're perfect. This is how long your dress should be, ladies. Perfect. Guys, you need to wear that collar with the buttons. That's perfect. Make sure you got a nice tie. It's turned just the right way. That's perfect. You do this many things in the church. That's perfect. It's never perfect, is it? It never is. Do you really think God cares whether you wear a tie or not? When what's in your heart is what really needs his attention? You can get all dressed up and put the most beautiful tie on, and your heart can still be far from God. Ladies, you can measure the dress to your ankle and have the right socks on, and then there's nothing showing anywhere, nothing. You got a mask on and everything. And inside, you're so far from the Lord. Do you think God is like, wow, look at that. Get up, man. Look at those guys. They're the best looking legalists in all the town. But their hearts are far from me. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. That's exactly what he said. You guys got all the outward. You make the outward look so beautiful, but your hearts are far from me. How do you avoid that? You walk in the Spirit. You get your direction from the Spirit. Yielded to the Word of God. Gives you guidance and principles and even convictions. By the way, have you noticed yet what it means for you? Just kind of absorb this for a second, would you? Have you come to the realization yet what it means when you say, I'm trying, quote, unquote, I'm trying, or I tried? Do you realize what you're saying? Oftentimes it does reflect a sincerity in your heart. It's not like you weren't trying. It's not like you didn't have a good motive. But often it reflects an unwillingness to just do it. It reflects an unwillingness just to make the decision. To follow through. You know, I'm trying, Ed. I'm trying really hard. Okay, I'm going to encourage you right now as your pastor, as your friend, as your fellow believer. Stop trying and just do it. Because there's so many other things in life you don't just try. Like, it's a big old steak in front of you with a nice big baked potato steaming up, sour cream. I mean, just, and it's just sitting there, and I'm like, hey, eat your dinner. I'm trying. No way. You're like, I wouldn't serve you a steak. You're not going to eat it. I'll eat it before you do. Don't tell me you're trying. Get your fork out. Cut that baby up. You don't say that when you eat dinner, huh? I'm trying. No, you eat dinner. There's even some things that God has made in your body. Think about it. Involuntary. Can you imagine? Hey, you're not breathing. I'm trying. You know, it's like, no. Like, God made that automatic. And he's not taking any chances with you. You're going to breathe whether you like it or not. I love it when you laugh, because then I could just take the truth and shove it right down into your heart. And the truth is this. Stop trying, church. Surrender to the Spirit. Let him fill you afresh. Begin to do the little things that are going to make you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And you know those fleshly tendencies of yours. Hear me out on this, because this is very freeing. If you accept the truth of God's word, I don't believe this is a mere opinion that I'm sharing with you, but the truth of God's word. Would you turn over to Philippians chapter 2? I want to leave you with this twofold work of the Spirit in your life. A work that He's doing right now in you as believers. Philippians chapter 2. Let's pick up, if you would, in verse 12. Get your pens handy. I want you to see this twofold work of the Spirit in our lives. Paul is writing to this church that he loves so much. He loved all the churches. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not always in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." A lot of churches stop right there. There it is, Ed. Work it out, man. Work hard. I know salvation was free, but the rest of your life is one hard work. I know Jesus died for you, but only to get you saved. After that, you're on your own, man. Work hard. Don't stop there. And don't miss the truth. It says, it doesn't say work for your salvation. It says work out. I don't really like the phrase work out all that much. I'm not a big fan of working out. But in the Spirit, I am. Work it out. Live it out. Why? Verse 12 or verse 13. Here's the key. "For it is God who works in you both." The two things that God is working in you. You ready? Number one, He's working to will. And number two, He's working to do for His good pleasure. This is the twofold work of God through His Spirit in your life. First, God gives you the desire, the will, and then He gives you the power to do. First, He gives you the will. This is the work of God. See, you don't have to work it up. God's given it to you. And now, that desire is matched with the power of God to do it and follow through. Sometimes I think we forget that it's God. We so easily forget that God's working. We so easily forget that He's always at work. It's not us trying, it's God's working through His Spirit in our lives. His plans for you are much larger than you can even conceive right now. As far as you have gone, God has so much more in store for you and me. He created you and put you on the planet with a uniqueness of life that only you can live. A purpose of life that only you can fulfill. You're that individual, and that's special to God. There's not another one like you on the planet. That's a good thing. You're unique. You don't have to be like anyone else. You're free. You don't have to try to copy anybody, or you don't have to be upset because somebody's a little farther than you or has a little bit more than you or all the things that we get caught up in. You are you, and God is very pleased with the you that He created. Not pleased with sin in our lives. He's pleased with you individually. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. He loved you so much. He's not pleased with the wreck of sin that's your life's become. He's not pleased with the ugliness of rebellion, but He loves you. He loves you greatly. What He's working in your life is not only giving you the desire, but also the will. All of the pains in life, listen, receive this. All of the pains in life, all of the setbacks, all the sufferings in this world come because it's a fallen world. It's touched and tainted by sin. None of us get a free pass outside of pain. Not one of us. So don't beat yourself up because you're not living up to some standard. Don't beat yourself up because you're falling short in one area or another. God made you to enjoy fellowship with Him. He made you to enjoy the sweetness of just knowing God, enjoying Him. God is working in you, believer. He's given you the will and the power to do. The will and the power to do, the desires, the wants, the wishes in your life come from the Spirit. The power to follow through comes from the Spirit. And then when you and I do follow through, you know who gets all the credit? God. And then we look back and we just trip out on all that God's done. We're just like, wow, where did this come from? The Lord. And when we give Him all the credit, our hearts just get drawn to Him even more. And then He works to will and to do. And then that's a cycle that you want to get into. Not the cycle of beating yourself up because you've fallen short of some plan that you've developed, some book that encouraged you, make the list and follow it, and you can never get past number two. It just never happens. Instead of just take the book and say, okay, I'm going to walk in the Spirit this week. Because God's going to give me the desire to do that and the power to do it. And it's more than, maybe you have a problem with anger tonight. It's more than biting your tongue, okay? Well, I didn't get mad this week. I bit my tongue. Your tongue's all hanging out and bloody. And it's not biting your tongue. It's not holding it back. It's yielding and surrendering, and it disappears. And your tongue is just fine. It's not getting one of those stress balls. I remember they handed those out at work one day. I said, give me two of them, man. Give me two. And it's not, I'm going to squeeze the stress ball. I feel better. Boom, and you throw it across the room. It's not that. It's yielding your stress unto the Lord and letting him remove it and watching him work faithfully. Let's close in Psalm 37, would you? The work of the Spirit's glorious, glorious, glorious. When we look at the manifestations of the Spirit, you're going to be so encouraged. You know, look at how the Spirit works in your life. You need to know your spiritual gift. If you don't know your spiritual gift, get the studies and learn what your spiritual gift is. Once you know what your spiritual gift is, then you'll understand where your role fits in the body and how the manifestations of the Spirit come alongside your gifting to magnify the Lord and magnify the work of the Spirit. Notice in Psalm 37, pick up with me in verse 4. Psalm 37. Pick up in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You know why that's so cool? Because even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even when we've blown it, we've gotten off track, when we haven't done what God has called, he is faithful. I mean, you might be dealing with the abyss of faithlessness right now. I'm just wondering, what is going to come of this? I don't know what's going to come of it. But one thing for sure, you're going to learn that God is faithful, even when you're faithless. It might be the first time you need to learn that. You're just going to learn. You set your sights and your sails toward the things of the Lord. He's going to show himself faithful. He's going to be faithful whether you recognize it or not. So you might as well just set your sights on the Lord and watch him work. Feed on that. Take it in. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Look at the promise. He shall give you the desires of your heart. What a misunderstood verse, huh? Oh, what do you mean? You mean if I delight myself, he's going to give me everything I want? No. No, I think it's just the opposite. I think that when you and I turn our lives toward the Lord, we delight ourselves in him, he begins to birth and give us new desires that weren't there before. We're delighting in the world. The world gives us desires. Watching the commercials, all of a sudden, I didn't want that. I want it now. Why? Because it's some dumb 60-second commercial said I needed it. And I agree. But when I delight myself in the Lord, and he says, you need it. You know what? I agree. And I delight myself in him, and he begins to birth in me desires that I didn't have before. This isn't some scripture just to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. That's not what this is at all. This is a scripture that says, look, if you turn your life toward the Lord tonight, and you set yourself to delight in him, even the things that absolutely seem impossible right now, God will begin to give you new desires and the power to accomplish all that he set before you. That's the work of the Spirit, by faith. That Spirit of God working in us to conform us into the very image of Jesus, changing us from the inside out. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that's where we want to live. Father, thank you again for the truth of your Spirit. We could probably spend week after week looking at various attributes of your Spirit. And yet, even as we study through the entire Bible, we'll eventually look at all the attributes of your Spirit as you reveal yourself in so many ways. We're reminded in Zechariah chapter 4, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's where we want to be. We want to acknowledge to you that you work in us both to will and to do. To will and to do. It's all in you, Lord. It's all in you. Those that might be second-guessing you tonight, those that might be like, you don't understand, Ed, you don't get it, you don't. The Spirit wrestles with the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. The two are contrary, so that they do not do, we do not do what we wish. So give them that delight in you, Lord, even in the pain and the setback. Let there be a delight, not in the circumstances, but let that be a delight in you. As we delight ourselves in you, Lord, you give us the desires of our heart, trusting in you, feeding on your faithfulness. Those that would respond to the invitation to accept your love by accepting your salvation, I pray for them right now, both near and far, in the room downstairs, out on the airwaves somewhere, in front of a computer at some Starbucks, hearing your word. You grabbed them right where they're at. And I pray, God, that in the response to this invitation, it would be one of repentance and surrender. That finally they'd give up and give their life to you. And if you are hearing my voice and you would say, Ed, that's me, I want you to respond and to repent of your sins and give your life to Him. You. That today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. Today is it. And so, if you happen to be here in front of me and you'd say, hey, Ed, I need to, that's what I need in my life. I'm going to invite you to make a public stand and just stand up right where you're at. That today would be the day where here you are and there God is and He's got that spiritual interaction with you. And today is the day where you repent, you turn from your sins, and you receive the salvation that's so freely yours in the finished work of Jesus. So if that's you, just stand up. I want to pray with you. That today would be it. We get to enjoy it with you. Get to rejoice with you. We get to come alongside of you. Help you grow in Jesus. If you'll hear His voice, call upon His name. It's your life. And you know, only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus is going to last. If you don't have any relationship with Him, you're not doing anything for Him. Just the way it is. You know, one of the crazy things that Jesus said? He said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Think about that. Like, oh, I'm not against Him. Hey, if you're not for Him, you're against Him. And God, you just know the work of your Spirit that I just sense a wrestling here, Lord, a battle for the very soul. And truly, God, I'm sorry because my first response is just to jump in and fight. But I recognize only your Spirit can change a person. And so we're open to watch your Spirit change and work. For us as believers, we truly want the faithfulness of your Spirit in our lives. That's what we desire. Paul said, concerning spirituals, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And God, we do not want to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, considering spiritual manifestations. We want to know what your word has to say. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, help us to walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Colossians 2:6 reminds us, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. As disciples of Christ, we're His ambassadors sent in His name. Our lives should not only glorify Him, but demonstrate to those around us that we know Him through our Christian service. Our responsibility is to be led by the Holy Spirit to those He's prepared and make use of the vast resources God gives us to do His work. Join us tomorrow when we'll continue our series through 1 Corinthians. At that time, we'll look at one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, Word of Wisdom. We're making available to you during the month of August the book by Warren Wiersbe on being a servant of God for a financial gift of any size to this ministry. Serving others and serving God is not an easy task. On Being a Servant of God invites you to listen in on 30 short armchair chats. Let His years of experience and wise counsel bring comfort to your soul and energy to your tasks. So if you'd like to have the book On Being a Servant of God by Warren Wiersbe, we'd be happy to send you a copy right away when you support this ministry with a financial gift during the month of August. Just ask for your copy when you send a gift. Our address is Abounding Grace, Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. You can also donate online via our secure web browser. Just log on to calvaryaurora.org. We pray that you've been blessed today. time. We'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
This is amazing grace.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.